our ministry. That's my wife and I. Our ministry, it's not really, we've given our life to that place, and we've almost lost our life a number of times there, but it's really not our ministry, it's your ministry. That's your ministry to Mexico City. That's what you're doing in Mexico City, so we want to thank you again for your part in our life and ministry. God's done a lot of great works there. Church planting is the main thing that we do, but we've had a lot of other ministries God's given to us. We have a ministry to the Jews there. We're 50,000 Jews in Mexico City. So we have a Jewish ministry, over 1 million orphans in Mexico City. We have outreach to the orphans, and we hope when we get back to start some new outreaches to the military, to the schools, to the hospitals, to the sporting groups there. And so we're excited to get back and kind of ramp it up a little bit more. But God's doing a great, great work, and so we're glad to be there, and we appreciate your part in helping us do that. You're invited. If you ever want to come visit us in Mexico City, you're invited to come. We'd love to have you. You can fly right from Cleveland to Mexico City, about 3-hour flight there. It's not too far at all if you get on the plane, but we'd love to have you sometime. If you'd like to visit, we'd be glad to entertain one person or a couple or a small group. You're welcome to come. But thank you for allowing us to be here today, and thank you for your part in our life and ministry. I'd like for us to look at something here in the Bible this morning to help us in our Sunday school hour, just something I just feel it's very important for us as Christians that we always be aware of. If you have your Bible, if you would open with me this morning to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read a few verses here together. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read verses 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, and once you find your place, just give you a chance to stretch for a minute. If you'll stand, and we'll read Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, they saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the songs that we sang this morning. Thank you for seeing a little bit about what you're doing just in one city around the world, Mexico City, Lord. And I just thank you now for the opportunity that we have to look to your word and just to remind us of something very important in our lives, or should be in our lives, Lord, this morning. I want to thank you again for this church, for Pastor White, Lord, for these people, how they pray for us and support us. But this morning I pray you'd help us, Lord, to refocus a little bit on what you've called us to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mexico City, for us, that church that you saw there, Hope Baptist Church, that church is about 4.5 years old now. It was a blessing. My wife and I, we started that in this area that we had saw our previous term, and we started there. We was looking for a church to meet in, and when we introduced ourselves to the few places that had a building available, they said, "No, we're Catholic, so we're not going to rent to Christians." And so we had a hard time finding a place for a while. We ended up being in a kindergarten. It's called Tweety Bird Kindergarten, so we invited people to Tweety Bird Kindergarten. Amen. That was our first real meeting place apart from our house there, but then God gave us a church building. There was a lady that got saved, and when she was young, she used to live in a cardboard box in Mexico City, and she told God, "If you ever would help me, I'll give all I have to you." And so she had this big house that we made into a church that she allows us to, made that available to us, and so what a blessing that's been. But all our people in our church are young Christians. They're young in the Lord. They've been saved a year or 2 years, 3 years. 4 years at the most. There's one man that actually was saved in another part of Mexico. He's been saved for a while. He was in a different state in Mexico. He found a John Romans laying on the ground. He picked it up. He read it. He got saved. And then his wife got saved. And they moved to Mexico City. And they began praying that God would send a missionary to Mexico City. And we met them. And God used them in our church to get started. But apart from this one family, everybody else are new Christians there. There's a young man in our church. His name is Inocencio. He's been saved a little over a year now, and when I met him, he was a hard, hard Catholic. Amen. He wanted nothing to do with me, with the church, with the gospel. Now, his wife got saved, but he didn't want anything to do with it. But I kept praying for him. He did come to church a few times. I got to witness to him, but he never got saved. But one night, it was about 10 o'clock at night, my phone rang in our apartment. It was Inocencio, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "can you come to my house? I'd like to talk to you." And so I told Mary, I said, "He wants us to come. That's a good thing. Let's go." Just when we were about to leave, the cartel gunfire broke out in our town, and in between us and him. And Mary said, do we have to go like right now? I mean, can we not like wait another day or so? I said, no, Mary, he's ready. Let's go. And so we went there to his house. Inocencio said, he said, now, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you about something. I said, Inocencio, listen, it's 10 o'clock at night. I appreciate the invitation, but I just got to, let me just ask you this question. I said, if you died today, Inocencio, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? He said, well, Pastor, I'm glad you're asking that question. That's what I want to talk to you about. He said, I am 95% sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I said, okay, that's pretty good, I guess. I said, well, what makes you 95% sure you go to heaven? He said, well, Pastor, this is what happened. Now, folks, this is not biblical, but this is what he shared with me. He said, Pastor, I was real sick and I was in the hospital and I wasn't getting better. I was getting worse. They told me there was nothing they could do for me. But, Pastor, in the middle of the night, Jesus appeared at the foot of my bed and Jesus told me that I was going to be okay. And he said, Pastor, he said, the next day I felt a little better. The second day I felt even better. The third day I felt so good they let me go home. And he said, Pastor, is that not a miracle? Am I not saved? I said, now, whether or not that's a miracle, I'm not sure. I said, but I know you're not saved if you're trusting in a vision at the foot of your bed at night. And he said, well, Pastor, what do I need to do to get saved? And it was a blessing to lead him to the Lord that night in his house. And now he wants to be trained to be a pastor. He wants to move back to his state of Mexico and start a church. And what a blessing that is. But they're all young Christians down there. And this morning in this church, I imagine most folks here have been saved for a while, I would imagine. Maybe there's some people new as Christians here this morning. But I want us to look at something this morning that we all need to be concerned about. As a missionary, my desire is to see people saved, then baptized, and then join the church and discipled. But the end result of that is that they would reproduce themselves, that they would learn how to reach people with the gospel. And my desire is, as a missionary is back here in the States that you do the same thing, that you get the gospel out, you see people saved and baptized, join the church and discipled, but then that people become reproducers of their faith, that we reproduce ourselves. That's why we're here, is to share what happened to us and to allow God to use our lives. And so this morning for a few minutes I want to talk to you about the topic of fishing. The topic of fishing. Now, you might not know this about me, but when I grew up in Alabama on the Tennessee River. And as a young boy, there's one thing I loved to do back then, and that was go fishing. Amen. After church, I'd go fishing. Not after church. I wasn't saved back then. After school, I'd go fishing. On the weekends, I'd go fishing. The summer times, I'd go fishing. I mean, I loved going fishing. It was only 10 minutes away, and I just loved doing that. And I learned some principles about fishing that I later learned in my Christian life that apply to fishing for men. So this morning, for a few minutes, I just want to look at God's desire for all of us to be witnesses, to reach out and to share the gospel to other people, and to be fishers of men. And so that's what we'll look at for a few minutes this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said that we're to be witnesses here, but also around the world. And my wife and I are privileged to be an extension of your gospel outreach in Mexico City. But it's your responsibility right here to get the gospel out. It's your responsibility right here as a church and as individuals to do all that you can to reach your area here. And so God has us in Mexico City, but He has you here. And let me just say, God is still calling people to the full-time ministry. So if there's somebody in here that God's dealing with your heart about serving Him full-time, serving Him either here in the States or in another country, then, my friend, the best thing that you could do is say, yes, sir, and surrender your life to Him. But if God doesn't call you somewhere else, that just means He wants to use you here, and He wants to use you to reach people for Christ. And so for a few minutes this morning, we'll just look about the importance of reaching people the gospel. Now, when I first got saved, I was raised Catholic. I got saved. As soon as I got saved, I graduated from college, and I had my commission as an Army officer, and I found myself overseas in Germany. My wife and I got in a good independent Baptist church over there as a young Christian. The pastor asked me that first couple weeks that we were there. He said, Mike, would you like to go out and make some visits with me? And I said, Well, sure, Pastor, that'd be fine. And so we went to this American military complex, this housing area, and we went to the first door. He said, now, do you want to knock this one or do you want me to? And I said, well, Pastor, I don't even know who lives here. He said, well, I don't either. And I said, well, what are we doing here then? He said, we're visiting. And I said, well, but you don't know him. He said, that doesn't matter. I said, well, Pastor, when they open the door, what are you going to say to him? And he said, I'll ask them if they die today. Are they 100% sure they're going to heaven? I said, Pastor, is that not like a personal question? You're going to ask a stranger this? And he said, Mike, that's what God wants us to do. And I learned as a young Christian that though it wasn't comfortable for me then, and sometimes even today it's not comfortable to do that, but God wants us all to be fishers of men. And so this morning I want to look at a few principles that I learned in my own life fishing for fish that can be applied to fishing for men, and just ask God to help remind us of the importance to get the gospel out here and around the world as fishers of men. And so just bear with me for a few minutes. The importance of this is very clear in the Bible. But the Bible says here that God called His disciples. He told them that if they would follow Him, He would make them fishers of men. God didn't say here that if we follow Him, He's going to make us smart, He's going to make us rich, He's going to make us handsome or beautiful, or he didn't even say He's going to make us good citizens. He just says that if we would follow Him, He will make us fishers of men. And so I want to encourage you this morning to understand it's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the missionaries and not just for people that's been saved for a long time. God wants us all to realize the importance of reaching men for Christ, being fishers for men. And so we'll look at a few examples here in the Bible, just some things that you and I can apply to our own life to reach people with the gospel. C.P. Studd, I've been reading a lot about him lately. His dad, his name was Edward Studd. Edward Studd was saved in the ministry of D.L. Moody. And later, C.P. Studd got saved. C.P. Studd was a great missionary. But C.P. Studd said, true religion is like smallpox. If you really get it, it's contagious and it's going to spread. And I'm just saying, my friend, if we're saved here today, we ought to want to share this gospel experience, this salvation that you and I have. We ought to want to share that with the whole world. And that's what C.T. Studd did. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to share this good news. Now, in our church, Hope Baptist Church in Mexico City, we support missions. Amen. We support three Mexicans who are missionaries to other parts of the world, and our people are excited to do that, and I'm excited that you folks support us. But you know what? That's not all it's about. It's about us personally getting out and sharing the gospel. So I just want to share a few things about that with you this morning. My dad taught me how to fish. He was a fisherman, but it's my Heavenly Father that's teaching me. He's still teaching me how to reach men for Christ. So let's look at a few examples this morning in the Bible of things that you and I can do in our own lives to be better fishers for men, or to be better at reaching people with the gospel. Jesus said that we need to pray that God would send forth more laborers. And there's a great, great need in Mexico City. I just want to tell you, my friend, keep praying for us, but pray that God would send more laborers to Mexico City, because it's a huge place. 38 million people in Mexico City and just a handful of missionaries down there, and we need a lot of help there. But you folks need more people here in Ohio getting the gospel out, and more people in your church taking this very seriously. And so just pray that God's will would be done, and pray that we'd all take this very seriously and that we do all that we can to get the gospel out. Now, when I fished for fun. Amen. It was just something fun that I did. But the disciples, they were real fishermen. I mean, that was their life. That was their occupation. Jesus understood that. Jesus oftentimes used fishing as a way to share a parable. Oftentimes, Jesus preached from boats. I mean, this was a very common thing back then. And so this morning, I just want us to look about this and understand the importance of getting the gospel. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We could say that the fish are many, but the fishermen are few. And I want to encourage you this morning just to understand the importance to involve yourself, not only in missions, but here locally about getting the gospel out. So just a few examples this morning we'll look at to help us about understand the importance of getting the gospel out. I heard a story real quick I'll just share with you about a man, and he was he loved golf. I mean, he wasn't a professional golfer, but he loved golf. And that was always on his mind. You know, as Christians, the gospel should always be on our mind. But he was a golfer. Golf was always on his mind. His wife was, she liked to go to estate sales and to buy things at estate sales. She was a buyer, amen. He was a golfer, and she was a buyer, amen. And they were just always talking about golf or buying an estate sale. And it was just always on their mind. And one night, in the middle of the night, the man was dreaming. He was dreaming that he was golfing. He dreamt that he hit the ball the wrong way, and he yelled in the middle of his sleep, four! And his wife said, 425. They were always just thinking about that. But as Christians, the gospel should just be always on our hearts and minds and our lips. And we should always be excited and just ready for the opportunity to just share about Jesus. And that's what a good fisherman does. He's always ready. And so this morning, let's look at a few things that we can do in our own lives to get the gospel out. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an example to every man that asketh of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we need to always be ready. We need to be ready to preach the word in season, out of season. But let's look at a few examples this morning, some things that you and I can do to help us to be sensitive to reaching people for Christ. The first thing that I learned as a fisherman. Now, if you want to apply these notes in a carnal way, if you want to learn how to catch fish, amen, I'll share some things with you this morning, and you can just go out to the lake or the river or whatever, and you can catch some fish, amen. But if you apply it spiritually, I believe God will help us to be more effective at reaching people with the gospel. Now, when you fish for fish, there are some decisions that you have to make. You have to decide, am I going to the lake, the river, the sea, the ocean, whatever. And then you have to decide, are you going to fish in deep water, shallow water, swift water, slow water? I mean, there's some decisions that you got to make when you go fishing for fish. But the big difference between fishing for fish and fishing for men is that you don't have to go very far to catch people for Christ. Amen. You don't have to go look for them. All you got to do is open your door. Amen. And there are people. Amen. And God wants us to be sensitive in that way in reaching people always with the gospel. But the things that I've learned in my own life that I hope will help us this morning to be better at reaching people for Christ. One thing that I learned when I used to fish for fish is that it's very, very important that you be patient. If you're going to be a good fisherman, you have to be patient. Now, when I went with my dad, when I first started learning how to fish, I wanted to catch a fish that first minute when we got there. We went fishing, right? So I wanted to catch fish, and I said, "Dad, but I'm not catching anything." "Well, that's all right, Mike. You sit there. You'll catch something." Another, 5, 10, 15 minutes passed, 30 minutes. I said, "Dad, I still hadn't caught anything." "It'll be okay, Mike. Just sit there. You'll catch something." Hour passed, 2 hours, and I said, "Dad, I haven't caught anything. Mike, it'll be okay. Just stick with it, Mike, and you'll catch something." And I tell you, that's the way it is as a Christian. I want to see all of Mexico City saved. I really do. My heart is to see them all saved. And your desire to see everybody here in this area saved, that ought to be your desire. That ought to be your motivation. But you know what? It's not going to happen today. I wish it was. I wish we could see like some of the things that happened in the Bible times where thousands of people got saved at once. And that might happen. I don't know. But I'm just saying it normally doesn't happen that way. It's normally not that fast. But we need to learn to be patient. If we're going to reach people for Christ, we got to be patient. James says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." If we're going to be a good fisherman for fish or for men, we have to learn to be patient, my friend. And sometimes we just get discouraged. Maybe there's somebody in here that hadn't won a soul for a long time. And you know what? But just be patient and stay with it. I eventually caught fish when I went fishing. I eventually caught at least maybe a little minnow or something. But I eventually caught. But it required patience. And I tell you, as people, we're not a very patient people. If you're honest with yourself, as Americans, let me just say, as Americans, we're not very patient. We want things right away. We want all this coronavirus thing to be gone with, and all the. We're not patient. But God wants us to be patient. And if we're going to reach people for Christ, we have to learn to be patient. And that's one thing I learned fishing for fish is if I was going to do it, I had to just wait and do what I was supposed to do and trust that sooner or later that was going to happen. And if you're going to reach people for Christ, it requires patience. And so let me just tell you this morning, that's a normal thing. We see people saved every week in Mexico City. But you know what? There's still so much work to be done. And if I'm going to reach more and more people there, I have to be patient. Trust in the Lord every day that His Word is being sown and that people are going to be saved. And the same here, you have to be patient. So let me just encourage you one thing this morning. If you want to go catch a fish out the lake today, hopefully the first line you cast, you'll reel one in, but probably not, amen? But if you will be patient, God will help you to reach people for Christ. And yeah, I'll guarantee you one thing, though. If you sit on your couch at home and you never leave your house, you're never going to reach anybody for Christ, most likely. Now, if you were wanting some fish, you could probably order Uber Eats or whatever. They deliver you a fish or sandwich or something to your house. But if you're going to reach people for Christ, you have to leave with the purpose of reaching people. That's part of it. And you have to be patient as you do that. And so let me just tell you, that's one thing I learned fishing for fish. It requires patience. Fishing for men requires patience, too. Another thing I learned about reaching people for Christ that's important is that you and I be persistent. That we be persistent. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And so, sometimes there's what happens is when I go fishing for fish and I have a good day, I want to go back that next week, amen. Whenever I was catching them, I was happy, amen. But, sometimes when we don't have success, we get discouraged and we say, "Well, that's the job for the pastor. That's the job for brother so-and-so. He's been a Christian for a long time." And we're not persistent in what God's called us to do. And we don't keep going back and back and back trying to reach people. And so I just want to encourage you, my friend. Maybe you've knocked doors. Maybe you've witnessed. Maybe you're inviting people to church for weeks and weeks and weeks and nothing's happened. And you just kind of sometimes get discouraged. But don't let that happen. Be persistent. And be persistent. Be patient, because it takes patience. But be persistent and keep going after men. Never give up. Never quit. Never lose sight of the reason that you're here. Now, if your job is that you're a plumber or a teacher or whatever you are, you ought to be a good example as a Christian. You ought to get to work on time. You ought to work hard and all that. But that's not our real responsibility. Our real responsibility as Christians is to get the gospel out. And I'm just saying, it requires persistence. I've had the doors slammed in my face enough times that I could say, that's it, I'm done. But I'm still doing it because God wants me to stay after it. And you may have had some bad experiences talking to people or inviting them to church or witnessing them, whatever. And it's easy to say, hey, that's not for me. I'm not good at this. And it's easy just to quit. But don't quit. Don't quit. Stay persistent. Stay patient. It requires patience, but stay persistent. Another thing I learned when dealing with catching fish or catching people is the importance of being courageous. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He it is, He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. As a Christian, we have to be courageous. I mean, we're living in some crazy times right now, and let me just tell you, I don't think things are going to get much better. I think things are going to get worse and worse. I think Jesus is coming soon, but until He comes, it's going to be this way. I mean, in one way or another, it's going to be a crazy place. And sometimes it's a little bit intimidating as we go out and live our Christian life publicly. Sometimes it can be. Now, when I used to go fishing, most of the time I'd go when the weather was perfect and the water was smooth and all that, you know, most of the time. But sometimes, amen, there were some big waves out there. And sometimes I got a little scared, especially if I didn't watch the weather and a lightning storm came, I had to kind of hide out on the bank for a little time and then get back out there. I'm just saying, sometimes fishing can be dangerous, but sometimes fishing for men can be a little bit intimidating. But don't be intimidated. My friend, we have the truth. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And don't be discouraged at all, my friend. You are well equipped for what God's called you to do. Just take it seriously. I used to be afraid of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. I used to think, oh, wow, these are religious nuts. But my friend, I realize I need to be the religious nut. I'm the one that has the truth, and I don't need to be scared of any religion, anybody, any place. But let me just tell you, sometimes it requires courage. It requires courage. And, you know, Mexico City is a very dangerous place. I mean, it's the kidnapping capital of the world. I've had a gun stuck to my head a number of times. I've been threatened by the cartel, all that stuff. But you know what? I trust the Lord. And I am safe. I am very, very safe in Mexico City because I am in God's hands. And my friend, when you leave these doors, if you purpose to serve your Lord, He will take care of you. And there's nothing you have to be worried about. Now, I've been in some dangerous trailer parks in the United States. I mean, I've been in some dangerous places here in America. I'm just telling you, this is not the paradise here at all. And it requires courage. And if we're going to catch fish, you gotta weather the storm sometimes. But if you're going to catch men for Christ, you have to be courageous. You have to be. And God wants you to be because He's with you. And so, my friend, be patient, be persistent, and have courage. But another thing I learned catching fish or trying to catch fish that I can apply to my own life about reaching people for Christ is the importance to be humble. The importance to be humble. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. One thing I learned to do, my dad taught me to do this as a young boy. We're getting close to December. What I used to do, fish like habitat. They like protection. They like coverage. And so at Christmas time, after Christmas, I used to drive around my neighborhood, and I used to collect the old Christmas trees. And I'd put them in my dad's truck, my boat, and I would tie center blocks around the base of these trees. And I would go out to the river, and I would sink these trees in certain places where I knew what they were. I marked them, and I knew exactly where they were. And so when people couldn't catch fish, I knew where the fish were hiding, and I could catch fish. A lot of times I would come back after fishing, and the old-timers would be there. They'd say, son, they just weren't biting today, were they? I go, no, that's not true. I reeled them in. Boy, I caught so many. I mean, I wasn't very humble. And my friends, sometimes we say, wow, I've been a Christian for a long time, and boy, surely God's going to use my life, and surely I'm going to make a difference. It's not going to work that way. We have to be humble. We have to say, God, I am nobody, but You want to use my life. Please use my life in spite of me. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great missionary. I don't speak absolutely perfect Spanish all the time. And yet God is, you see what God is doing in Mexico City, not because of me. It's because just that we surrender ourselves. I would encourage you this morning, surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and humble yourself and say, God, if You can, if You would, use my life. And you'd be so surprised what God will do if we'll just humble ourselves. It's so important that we humble ourselves. Be patient, persistence, my friend. Humble yourself. And another thing let me share with you, another thing that we have to do to catch people or to catch fish is we have to have faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. And when I used to go fishing, I knew how to use my rod and reel. I had confidence in my rod and reel. I had confidence in my bait. I had confidence in my boat. I had confidence, and I had to use it a few times. I had confidence in my life jacket. Amen. I fell in the boat a few times. Amen. Fishing. But I had faith in those things. I believed in those things, and they worked. But my friend, as Christians, God wants us to have faith in Him and faith in His Word. And if you would put your confidence that God is able to do what He said He would do, God will use you and help you make an impact in this world. I'm just saying it requires faith. I mean, we can say we have faith, but until we get out and demonstrate it, until we go with the purpose of talking to people, inviting people to church, my friend, it just won't work. We've got to have faith. We've got to be humble. We've got to have faith. A couple of things I'll share with you real quick, more that we need to do, is we need to learn to hide ourselves. We need to hide ourselves. John said, He must increase, but I must decrease. I remember when I was a young boy fishing, my dad got me a little 2-foot rod and reel there, and I used to, when he was putting the boat in the water, I would see little fish. I'd say, look, Dad, there's fish there. I'm going to catch. He said, Mike, you're not going to catch anything if you're right there on top of the fish. You got to hide yourself. And my friend, sometimes the reason we don't have much success in dealing with people is because it's about us, amen. It's about me, and it's about, it shouldn't be, it should be about Him. We need to exalt Him and glorify Him and hide ourselves. And when the Greeks had went to see Philip there, they were looking for Peter, or they were looking for Jesus, but they said to Philip, they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. People, what they need to see today is not you and I, not anything else. They need to see Jesus, and we need to learn to hide ourselves. If we're going to catch fish, you got to cast real far away so they don't see you, amen. But if we're going to catch people for Christ, Jesus has to be exalted. Jesus has to be exalted. A couple more things real quick I'll share with you that I learned catching fish. Is the importance of using the right bait. Now, when it comes to reaching people for Christ, the only thing that works is the gospel. The only thing that works reaching people for Christ is the gospel. You don't need to change your Bible. You don't need to change your music. You don't need, the Bible and the gospel is sufficient to reach people. The Bible says that it's quick and powerful and it's able. And you and I just need to trust the Bible and use the Bible, nothing else. Need to be careful that we don't make excuses. When I used to go fishing, I'd invite all my friends, hey, Tommy, you want to come with me? Hey, Charlie, you want to come with me? Not today, I'm tired. Not today, it's hot outside. Not today, it's cold outside. I mean, there's lots of reasons why they wouldn't go with me, but I always went. And I learned how to catch fish. And as Christians, we need to not make excuses. It's easy. I tell our people at church, hey, listen, it's Saturday, that's door knocking day. Hey, it's Wednesday, that's going to the market day. Hey, it's Thursday, that's going to the street. And I'm just saying, we need a purpose to do it and not find reasons not to do it. We just need to be sensitive and trust the Lord and get out there and do what He's asked us to do. One last reason I'll share with you real quick, and we'll close with this one. We need to be careful about not making a lot of noise. Not making a lot of noise. When I used to go fishing in my dad's aluminum bottom boat, he would say, Mike, sit down and be quiet because you're going to scare all the fish away. I mean, I'd get up and I'd start walking around. He'd say, sit down. And you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We need to not make a lot of noise about ourselves. When I talk to people, of course, I break the ice and I try to talk about whatever just to kind of get started. But we always have to share the gospel. Don't lose the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. The gospel is what works and the gospel is what makes the difference. And so, my friend, these are just some quick things that I learned fishing for fish. And I learned to catch fish. I mean, sometimes I didn't catch as many as others, but I was able to catch fish when I'd go fishing because I knew where they were hiding. I knew what to use. I learned these principles. But I'm just telling you, to be a good fisher of men, it's so important that we take these principles, the biblical principles in the Bible, and apply them to our own life so that we would be effective at reaching men for Christ. So if you want to go fishing, my friend, and you want to be successful, take some of these principles with you, and you might just catch something. Amen. But if you want to reach people for Christ, my friend, the Bible has the answers. And God wants to use not just missionaries, not just pastors. He wants to use us all to catch men for Christ. And you can do that if you use the Bible, trust the Bible, follow the Bible. God will help you do that. So let's close in prayer, and we'll have a little break before the morning service. Lord, we want to thank You for this opportunity that we had to be in Your house. Lord, we want to thank You for this church, what it's doing here locally, and what it's doing around the world.